Well, if you missed the missions conference, you really missed a blessing. I missed Thursday morning, but I was here most of the other services. And it was really a blessing to hear what the Lord is doing, what missionaries are doing, and brings you under conviction. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So the theme was now or never. Now or never. And last Sunday, we talked about some little creatures. the ants and the conies. And if y'all remember that, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. that's a good thing for a sluggard, a lazy person to do, is to consider the ant that's always busy because what? Winter's coming. And we talked about those things, and I even brought out the fact that come before winter. So all week in the missions conference, I was thinking about that. So that's where we're going to be at today in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read three verses here. It says in verse 9, we'll read more than three, but it says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. So here's Paul in prison, the last book that he wrote, book of 2 Timothy, encouraging Timothy, a young preacher, to stand for God, not be ashamed, don't be afraid, stir up the gift that is in you, be encouraged, endure afflictions, gave him several things to think about as a young preacher. And he says, Demas has forsaken me. Then look at verse 13. He says, in the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So Paul, he knew that his time was short. He knew that he wouldn't live much longer. Then he says in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Snoopy, no, not Snoopy, and Claudia, and all the brethren. I had to throw that in there. I have a little note by that verse. It says, come before, it says, thank God for faithful men. And then I put another note later on that says, may I be found a faithful man. So Paul knew that his time was short. And he says, come before winter. He said, bring my coat for his physical needs. Bring the books for mental needs, for his intellect, and his parchments for spiritual needs. Here he knew his life was at the end. What if you knew that your life was at the end? What would you do? Well, my life's at the end. What am I going to do? I think I'll go on a trip. I think I'll sit by the fire and eat popcorn. Now, what did Paul do? He continued to want to know the Lord more. He continued to study. That's what he wanted to do. That was his desire all the way till his death. And then he said, Timothy, you need to come. I need you here. In verse 9, do thy diligence to come unto me. It's good to have a friend that understands what you're going through. So he says, do all that you can to come. This is a request, an intensified request. Can you see the urgency that he's writing here? Come before winter. Make haste. Diligence to exert oneself. To spend the last days with somebody that he could study with and pray with. And maybe he'd say, hey, let's sing that song that you and Silas sang when you was in jail. Talking about coming to see you, I remember my aunt coming over one time and they had some distant kin folks to look them up from up north. And she said they were getting ready to leave. And she said, oh, I wish y'all wouldn't go. You ought to stay. And they looked at you. Well, okay, we'll stay a while. They stayed about 3 or 4 more days. And that's just a southern thing, you know, by the way. You know, y'all ought to stay. We didn't really mean it. But he said, come before winter. Timothy was in Ephesus. That's 580 miles, straight line. So it's going to take him some time to get there. You need to leave now because winter's coming. When winter sets in, you can't sail. We know Paul had that experience when he was in a shipwreck. And he wound up on an island. So you got to sail at the right time of the year. If not, you have to wait till springtime. With winter coming, Paul knew that also he'd need his coat. Could you imagine being in that maritime prison in Rome with no coat down in that dungeon? Of course, those dealing with you didn't care about your physical needs. So he wanted him to bring his coat. I remember when my dad got older, he'd walk around in the summertime, he'd have his coat on in the house, you know, and I'm like, Daddy, you're burning me up. What do you got your coat on for? He was cold. I guess when you get older, you get cold. Is that right, Brother Peoples? I didn't want to call out somebody because they'd think I was calling them old. So I figured I'd pick on him. He's my age. But he'd walk around with his coat on. You know, wintertime comes, we get prepared for it. Like we said last week, the ants, they do that. We learn that from them. It's just around the corner, so what do? I remember growing up, we'd cut wood. Have wood stacked and ready to go. Kill the fatted calf. Store up all the things from your garden. Mom would make jelly and do all those things. So when winter was coming, you need to be prepared. It's a time of... Some people love winter. The longer I've lived in Texas, I got to where I kind of like the Texas winters, a little shorter. And then you get some springtime days in winter. It's a little different here in Texas, isn't it? But Paul knew he would die soon. And one day, they would come to execute him. So he says, do all you can to come. You see, it was hard for a person that wasn't a sold-out Christian to take a stand. Why did Demas forsake him? So no man, he says in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Why did they forsake him? Well, if you were a Christian, you could be charged for sedition. They said it was a superstitious cult that practiced cannibalism. They had hatred for people, for the human race. The Roman government called this new sect a cult, a secret society that drank human blood and was trying to overthrow the government. So a sold-out Christian didn't want anything to do with that because they'd wind up in prison with Paul and have their head cut off. Maybe that's why Demas left, since he, having loved this present world. So the question is, my question is, did Timothy make it? We don't know. We don't have that answer. Did he come, or was he in a revival or a missions conference? Or somebody had him to, he had to go have the Lord's Supper at some church. You know, we want to think that Timothy, as soon as he got that letter that he got in his, I think say he got in his car. He got on his donkey, or he took off walking. He had to make one stop. He says, go to Troas. Carpus. Go to his house and get my cloak. I left it there. And oh, by the way, pick up Mark on your way. You remember Mark? How that he had forsaken him at one time in the ministry on a missions trip. And Barnabas and Paul had contention there over that. Mark, being Barnabas' nephew, he took Mark. Paul took Silas. Had a disagreement there. Aren't you glad for the Barnabases? Person of consolation. Because he took him under his wing and cared for him. He said, bring Mark. We have the gospel of Mark. The Lord used him to write that. The book of Acts. That's Mark. I'm glad God still uses people like that. Timothy would have come and searched for him, found him down in that dungeon, wrapped the coat around him, prayed with him, gave him the books, and they would read it together. Study together, sing together. That's what you. That's what I imagine would happen. And he'd stayed with him until the time came. All of us wonder about that. The brevity of life. Life is short. We mark life by years, by passing seasons. Springtime, we see new life. Summer, hot and lazy. It got so hot that the dog that was chasing the cat, they saw them both walking. That's pretty hot, isn't it? Fall, bright colors. You get out your sweater. Then winter comes. I like all the seasons. Springtime, I love springtime. Everything starts blooming out. And we think of new life, don't we? But fall is my favorite. You ever been down the Tennessee River on a fall color cruise? And go to Kettner's Mill. That's a beautiful place. An old mill on a spring. And have all the crafts going on. And so you see all those beautiful leaves. And then they all turn brown and fall off, and the grass dies, and winter's here. You see, life is like that. You heard of the guy talking to his mother that couldn't hardly hear, and he says, Mama, I'm proud of you. She said, huh? Mama, I'm proud of you. Huh? And he said it louder. And she said, I'm tired of you too. It's kind of funny when people can't hear you. My daddy lost his hearing, couldn't hardly hear. And I would say something to him, and he'd say something else, answer me with something off the wall, you know, and I'm thinking, what in the world? Where'd that come from? And I realized that he didn't hear me. In the springtime is childhood. You know, when you was a child, it'd make you take a nap. Y'all remember that? Kids don't need a nap. When you get 50, you need a nap. That's when it's time to take a nap. In the summer, we see that as our teen years. It passes quickly. It seems like 15 and 16 is forever. You remember that? I wanted to get out of school, and it took me forever. I didn't fail any, but we had some guys that were 21 when I graduated. It took them a while. In the fall, it's time for maturity. You have kids, your hair falls out, your teeth fall out, and you pass through life. Then winter comes and sets in. And so I remember when I could cover the field. Remember playing softball and baseball and football and all those things? And that's what you talk about. I remember. It's just like yesterday, but time has really flown by, hasn't it? It's just like that and it's over. Life is like this. The Bible says it's like a shadow. It's swifter than a weaver's beam. A tale that is told. It's like a cloud that passes by. James describes it as a vapor. So if we break life down into 24 hours, we have at 12:01 a.m. you're born. At 3 a.m. you're around 10 years old. At 6, you're 18. At 10 a.m. you're about 30. At 12 noon, 39. 3 p.m., you're 45. At 5 p.m., you're 51. At 8, you're 60. At 10 p.m., you're 65. At 11 p.m., you're 69. Because God said 70 years, 70 years, and possibly 10 more. Dr. Barber's doing really well. And some other folks. My buddy's mother passed away this past year. She was 102. She was good up to 101. Just as clear, she'd talk about things that Danny and I did. I said, Miss Robertson, how do you remember all that stuff? She didn't forget anything. Kind of like Brother King. He don't forget anything. Then there's the brevity of opportunities that we let slip away. Opportunities to write, opportunities to visit the sick, opportunities to witness. How many opportunities have we let slip away? There are some things that we can wait on, but there's some things that we need to do now. There's some things that we can't wait on. Because you might not live another day, and then that person that you didn't witness to might not live another minute. Because life is short. Winter's coming. So what is my excuse for not serving God? And then what is your excuse for not serving God? So salvation is at the utmost concern, the utmost need. That decision needs to be made now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation because the urgency is the brevity of life. Life is short. The demons, they get together in a meeting and they talk about how to keep people from coming to Christ. And so let's tell them there's no God. That's a good one. There's no God. There's no judgment. That's another good one. But let's tell them there's no hell. But they got the number one answer. Let's tell them, it's okay, it's all right, but you don't need to do it now. You need to wait. You can wait, you're young. Then they say, well, you can wait till you retire. I know of a guy that retired and died the next week. Had talked about all the things he was going to do with all the money he had saved up. But wait, procrastinate. Have you ever procrastinated? I remember procrastinating on papers. I was in college and you had, seemed like every semester I'd have three term papers. And you got to understand, where I went to high school, we never did a term paper. Yeah, I was in Mississippi. That's right. We didn't know how to do a term paper. So thank the Lord for a guy named Glenn Cook. I mean, he was from Ohio. This guy didn't crack a book and make straight A's. And I said, Glenn, I don't know how to do this term paper. He said, what? And he started laughing. He's a big guy. And it was the funniest thing to him. But he helped me with my term papers. But if you procrastinate to the last minute, yeah, that's a mistake. It doesn't work. And God won't answer your prayer when you say, hey, Lord, help me with this. Help me. You ever prayed to the Lord to help you to pass a test that you didn't study for? You don't pass it. Because the Lord ain't going to get your lesson for you. So in the era of repentance, is there some sin in our life? We need to handle it now because life is short. In giving to the Lord, in the service of Jesus, in visiting someone that needs our attention, some of the sick here at our church, I was going to go by and see him, but I didn't make it, and he passed away. What about our relationships? Is there somebody that you love and you haven't told them? I said, yeah, my wife. The guy said he told his wife he loved her when he got married. He didn't need to tell her again. One time was enough. Y'all heard those kind of guys, right? They don't work with my wife. Then your kids, they need to hear that you love them. You ever tell your kids that you love them? And your mom and dad, they need to hear that too. My daughter, she tells me that quite often. And Christopher. Now, Stephen and Matthew, they have a hard time with that. Christopher never did. Friends, they know everything about you and they love you anyway. You have some friends that know everything about you? Well, the things they should know about you today should be good things, right? What God has done in your life. So winter prepares us. Are you prepared for winter? Paul says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he says, I'm prepared. When we come to the end of our life, could we say like Paul, I'm prepared for this time? Are you persistent? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Are we persistent in our love for the Lord, in our fight for the faith, in our giving out the gospel to see men come to Christ? And do you have a purpose? In verse 8 it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. So his purpose. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said that I might be accepted of him in verse 9. Accepted of him, well-pleasing to him. Do you want to be well-pleasing to the Lord? Paul wanted to be. And then he says in verse 11, therefore knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why these missionaries go. That's why you and I go out and visit, knock on doors. That's why we should tell our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones. Because knowing the terror of the Lord, that in that day he'll laugh at their calamity, the Bible says. And then he says, for the love of Christ constraineth me. That's why Paul kept going and going and going, never giving up. All the things that he went through in his life, the beatings, beating with the rods, shipwrecks, the stoning, and yet all those things didn't shake his faith. You know, what causes our faith to be shaken? Demas's problem was he loved this present world. Do we have a love of the world that we don't want to live for God, live for the Lord? We need to prepare for our welfare. Be prepared. I often think about sitting with my dad, and he had dementia, which is a terrible thing, really. But at 1 o'clock in the morning, I would video him or turn my phone on, and he'd start preaching me a message. I guess he knew I needed it. But he would start talking about being faithful. He said, I want all my kids to know the Lord. All my grandkids need to know the Lord. And you need to tell them. And then say, who are you? But every now and then he'd get a fire in him and he'd start preaching. I don't care who was in there. I loved it. I'd get my phone out real quick and start taping it. I went back and listened to some of those times. I thank God for a godly dad. He's like Brother Tyler's story. My dad was saved when I was 4. Got saved, and God just changed his life. He's 27 years old. I mean, his friends just say, what happened to him? I remember him talking about all of his friends. And I met a few of them. They said, your dad was he was something else. He was a great ball player. Man, he could fight. When you was in a fight, you wanted him on your side and those kind of things. But something happened to him. Man, ain't that great? It needs to happen to a lot of us. A lot of people need the Lord. People need the Lord because winter is coming. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you today for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be diligent in our witness, in our lives, because time is short. And we need to serve you now. In Jesus' name, amen.